and Mara Krugman. Rita Antine is on the Northern California Steering Committee of ANSWER and is the program director of the National Lawyers Guild. And Mara Krugman is a 13-year-old anti-war activist daughter who just led her first student walkout. Let's welcome them.
Hi, thank you. An interesting thing happened to me the other day. Somebody left a message on my phone in the National Lawyers Guild office. Friendly guy. Hi, Reba. This is Tom Shields, FBI agent, L.A. Please call me. My first FBI call. But what's interesting is he was so disarmingly friendly that I almost picked up the phone because I have nothing to hide. I just engage in constitutionally protected activity. Wrong. Nobody should talk to any government agent before talking to an attorney. I say that many times and I almost made a mistake. Call the National Lawyers Guild for an attorney. I had an attorney call. No news. Hopefully they backed off. Okay. Now, the FBI could be calling any of us here because what's really going on is a war against dissent. And everybody here is engaged in a democratic process saying no to this illegal, illegitimate government. Now, we already know that the federal government, since the Patriot Act and this possible new Patriot Act, is spying on us, finding out about what we take out from the library, our credit cards, our medical records. We're going to be color-coded any time we fly. But there's a new scandal right here in San Francisco. The San Francisco police have been spying on us every demonstration since October 26th in violation of their own guidelines. Why do we have surveillance guidelines? Because in 1992, there was a spy scandal where a San Francisco cop, Tom Girard, former CIA operative, spied on 7,000 people, 200 organizations, passed it on to the Anti-Defamation League, 7,000 people spied on, all of whom engaged in constitutionally protected activity. So San Francisco developed guidelines to be sure that doesn't happen. But guess what? They violated the guidelines. They have been spying on us without the required written permission. Now the reason they're spying on us is because we're winning. Are we winning? Yes. And they're afraid of us because our numbers keep getting bigger and we're here month after month after month. We're winning because we are not in Iraq yet. We have halted the plans for this illegal war. We are winning because we successfully disrupted downtown yesterday. We disrupted downtown. And we will shut this city down big time if we go into Iraq. We will win. And the ultimate win is to follow the premise of the National Lawyers Guild Constitution written in 1937, that we work to the end that human rights shall be regarded as more sacred than property interests. We have to end this obscene, grotesque disparity of wealth, and that's the way we will get world peace. Power to the people! Thank you!
I realized recently that the United States is like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was strong and it had many resources, but it was greedy and wanted more. So it went into countries they had no right to be in. Eventually, the empire fell. This country is an empire, not a democracy, has its military in 100 countries, and because it is so greedy, it will fall. No war on Iraq.
Let's hear it from Mara and Reba. Our next speaker who will be giving the statement of international answer. He is also on the National Steering Committee of ANSWER and a representative of the International Action Center. He is a long-time representative of the struggle to lift the sanctions on Iraq and in support for freedom and justice of the Palestinian people. Please give it up for Richard Becker. Are you ready to march? Well, in a few minutes, we're going to be marching. We have some other very important parts of our program, but we have such a big crowd here today, it's going to take us a long time to leave the Civic Center. The Azores. Why the Azores? Why are the leaders of Spain and England and the United States going there? Because they know that they can't go to London, they can't meet in Madrid, they can't meet in Washington, they can't meet in any major city in the world! So they're going to the Azores. They're going to one of the world's oldest colonies to plan a war to create the world's newest colony. And we say no. This week, the U.S. military exploded a new bomb called MOAB. And I can tell you, I would bet anything, that those military political planners came up with the nickname before they came up with the technical name. They wanted something they could call the mother of all bombs. That bomb weighs 21,000 pounds. It's a fuel air explosive. And I don't know if you know what that means. It's a bomb so big it can't be dropped out of a B-52. It has to be wheeled out the back of a C-130 transport plane. How does it work? It works like this. It explodes a cloud of aerosolized fuel over an area of several football fields. And then it explodes a second charge inside of it that creates a firestorm and a pressure wave that kills everything underneath it, even little creatures buried deep in the ground. And how does it kill them? By rupturing their internal organs and even their skin. And they want to tell us that they're worried about weapons of mass destruction. Is there any bigger lie in the world than what they are telling us through their state-run media? That they're concerned about weapons of mass destruction? They have the weapons of mass destruction, and they're using them, and they plan to use them more. That is a weapon of terror, and those who use that weapon are terrorists. I don't know how many of you saw this quote in this morning's paper from Colonel Carl Will Bremsley, 1st Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division, sitting on the Kuwait border with Iraq, and he said, "I will tell you, we are an offensive force, a blunt trauma force." That's what he said. That's nice, isn't it? And they wonder, these pundits on TV, why is there more violence in our society? It comes from the top. You know, when a U.S. diplomat just resigned, named Kiesling, he said, "Is there no motto? Odorant dem metuant." That's Latin for "let them hate us as long as they fear us." It was the motto of the Roman Empire, and it is the fitting motto of the National Security Strategy of the USA, the official doctrine of the Bush administration. That's what they mean. Let anyone hate us as long as they fear us. We want a different world, not that world. We want a world of peace and friendship and solidarity and equality among people. Bush war is a war against Iraq, but not only against Iraq. Those of us who have been to Iraq, who have had that privilege, find it unimaginable to think that a people who suffered so much will now be subjected to a war using weapons of mass destruction. Those of us who have had the privilege to go to Palestine know what the people there are suffering at the hands of Israeli troops who carry weapons that are provided to them by the United States. And a new war against Iraq will also be a new war against Palestine. But it will also be a new war against Korea and Iran and Colombia and the Philippines and the people of the world, but not just against the people in other countries. It will be a war against the people here too. And that's why we must say no. What the rulers here, Bush and all of his gang, didn't count on was the rise of this movement. There is nothing more important that has happened in this country and in this world in recent history than the new movement that we are all a part of. Because the only way that real change can come about is from the grassroots up. It's from the people, whether it's been labor or civil rights or women's rights or lesbian and gay rights or ending Vietnam. It was the people who did it. We should be proud. We should all be proud of what we have accomplished so far. But in being proud, we cannot relax. We cannot take a step back. We have to keep pressing forward. This is a criminal group in Washington, and they have greater crimes in store. I want to end by saying this. We have to prepare for what is coming. We are doing all we can to stop the war. But if the war breaks out, we have to continue our struggle. It will not be a short war. Even if the first phase is short, the occupation and the war against Iraq will continue, and against other people around the world, and against the people here. So this is what we are planning. On the day war breaks out, people will converge here in San Francisco at Parliament Market at 5 o'clock and have a march through the city and gather up tens of thousands of people from all the neighborhoods. And we urge those of you who are from other cities to do the same thing. On the next morning, there will be direct action, civil disobedience all over the city. And we urge people to join it, and we will join it too. We urge everyone to walk out. If war breaks out, walk out. If war breaks out, if war breaks out, if war breaks out, if war breaks out. And there is much more that we must do. We will meet that day. We will march again. We will march the Saturday after war breaks out, if it does, if we can't stop it. And we will continue on from there. But what is most important is the commitment of every person here to continue in the struggle, to become an organizer. Only the people can change history, and the people are changing history. Thank you. Let's continue. Together we can win.
Thank you.
I'll introduce myself again. My name is Hopu Jeffrey, and I'm a representative of the ASUC as the student government at UC Berkeley. I represent the 30,000 students of that campus. The massive popular opposition throughout the world against a new U.S.-led war in Iraq is the only power that can stop the Bush administration from crashing ahead with its plans for a military invasion and occupation of Iraq. To win, we must build our movement much broader. For American opponents of the U.S. government's war drive, this means opposing their war in Iraq and opposing racism at home. A new civil rights movement has begun to grow in the streets and schools of American society. It began initially as a fight in defense of affirmative action, but now it's broadened out into a more generalized fight for full integration and equality in America. On Tuesday, April 1st, in Washington, D.C., thousands of high school and college students will march into the U.S. Supreme Court to fight against racism, to demand that the U.S. Supreme Court uphold the use of affirmative action in our nation's colleges and universities. At stake is the future of educational equality and opportunity for Black and Latino, other minority people, poor people of all races, and women in American society. Even more than that, it's going to determine the future of race relations in American society. Is it going to be in Washington, D.C. on April 5th for the anti-war demonstration? Get there earlier. It is a glaring injustice, an untenable contradiction that Black and Latino and poor people of all races are suffering under segregation and inequality, second-class education and employment opportunities, and are now being asked to fight and die in a U.S.-led war in the Middle East. The collective opposition to this war must stand against this injustice. Again, the date is Tuesday, April 1st. Start to ask your family and your friends about getting the money together. It's not too late to get a ticket. If you're younger, ask family and friends again. Talk to your professors on your campuses. Get money from wherever you can. Thank you.